Sterling Infrastructure, ticker SDRL. Full meeting prep briefing. This is your comprehensive briefing on Sterling Infrastructure ahead of your management meeting. About 20 minutes. I'll walk through the transformation story, the unit economics of what they actually do, financials in detail, competitive positioning, the granola notes from the ENC growth boom call, sell-side consensus, and where it might be wrong, the full set of surgical questions, and the listening framework. Part 1. The transformation story. Sterling used to be a money-losing highway contractor. Today, it's a $14 billion market cap, high-growth data center infrastructure platform. The transformation happened over about 5 years under CEO Joe Cutillo. They exited low-margin heavy civil work and pivoted into mission-critical infrastructure, which is now 69% of Q4 revenue. That mix shift is the entire story. E-infrastructure grew 123% year over year in Q4. 67% of that was organic, not acquired. Rocky Mountain data center operations were up 150%. Management says data center opportunities are, and I'm quoting here, falling out of the sky every day. This is their fifth consecutive year of 35% plus EPS growth. Fiscal 2025 EPS came in at $10.88, up 53%. Their 2026 guidance of $13.45 to $14.05 was 10 to 14% above consensus across all metrics. Part 2. What Sterling actually does. This is important because most analysts bucket SDRL as ENC and miss the nuance. From your granola notes on the January ENC growth boom call with Noel Diltz, VP of IR. Sterling is phase one of construction. They get the land flat and install the underground systems. That means fresh water, sewers, gas, underground duct banks. Then through the CEC acquisition, they added electrical services on top of that. So now they do site development plus electrical wiring. That's the full below grade and electrical package for a data center. Here's the scale context from those notes. 3 years ago, a 100-acre data center was a big project. Today, that's the parking lot. The projects have gotten enormous. A single data center campus now can be hundreds of acres. And Sterling's ability to handle that scale, the bonding capacity, the equipment fleet, the workforce, is what separates them. One-third of their projects are behind the meter. That means they're doing the work on the customer's side of the utility connection, not the utility side. This is important because behind-the-meter work has different permitting, different contracting structures, and often higher margins. From the call, there are technical challenges specific to data centers. First, you have to do a black start, which is bringing power online from scratch on a greenfield site. Where does the initial power come from? That's a real engineering challenge, and Sterling has the expertise. On SMRs, small modular reactors, the granola notes say they're not really on the forefront today. Sterling doesn't expect their renewable business to grow meaningfully right now. The demand is conventional power infrastructure for data centers. The geographic angle, there's a theory that a lot of new DC build will happen in Texas because of existing power infrastructure. The notes say so far this is largely theoretical. But Chevron's Analyst Day in November highlighted a 2.5 gigawatt generation data center project in Texas with a $6 billion spend versus Chevron's typical annual capex of $5 billion. That gives you a sense of the scale of spending flowing into this space. Part 3. The Micron opportunity. From the granola notes, Micron's build out in upstate New York. The challenge is there aren't enough resources in rural New York to get the job done. Micron's investment could reach $100 billion. Sterling is positioned through Petillo in the Northeast to capture this work. CHIPS Act is driving $450 billion plus in private investment total. William Blair expects semiconductor awards to flow in 2026 to 2027. This is not in Sterling's current numbers. If semiconductor materializes alongside data center, the growth story extends another 3 to 5 years. Part 4. Competitive dynamics. From the granola notes, a key observation, there is a huge supply slash demand imbalance between EPC contractors in terms of building out data center infrastructure. There simply aren't enough qualified firms to do this work. Sterling is 3 to 4 times larger than their next competitor on large, complex data center projects. That scale doesn't replicate overnight. It takes 4 years to become a journeyman electrician. You can't just hire capacity. The integrated offering matters because if site development is even a couple weeks late, the total project gets delayed by months. Hyperscalers, Amazon, Meta, Google care about reliability above all else. Sterling's safety record and bonding capacity are part of the moat. A useful comparison from those notes, one participant mentioned their largest position, 20% of his fund, is in an ENC name. But only 12 to 13% of that company is exposed to AI data center work. Sterling's exposure is far higher, at 69% of revenue from e-infrastructure. That concentration is both the opportunity and the risk. Also from the notes, canary in the coal mine for DC infrastructure demand was Sterling and the NeoClouds. Meaning if you want to track whether data center demand is real and accelerating, watch Sterling's backlog and the NeoClouds' spending patterns. Part 5. Financial Deep Dive. Let me walk through the numbers in detail. Revenue progression. $1.97 billion in fiscal 2023, $2.12 billion in 2024, $2.49 billion in 2025. Guided to $3.05 to $3.20 billion for 2026. Growth accelerated from 7.3% to 32% and is guided 22 to 28% for 2026. EBITDA, $260 million in 2023, $319 million in 2024, $531 million in 2025. Guided to $626 to $659 million for 2026. EBITDA margins expanded from 13.2% to 15.1% to 21.3%. That 600 basis point margin expansion over 2 years is almost entirely from e-infra mix shift. The guide implies slight margin compression to 20.5 to 20.6%, which likely reflects CEC integration costs and ramp of new geographies. EPS, $4.47, $6.02, $10.88, guided $13.45 to $14.05. The compound growth rate over 3 years is north of 45%. Operating cash flow was $440 million on $531 million of EBITDA. That's an 83% conversion rate, which is excellent for a construction business. Most ENC companies struggle with working capital swings. By segment in Q4, e-infrastructure did $521 million in revenue, 69% of total, growing 123% with a 22.2% adjusted operating margin. Transportation did $153 million, 20% of total, up 24% with a 12.2% margin. Building Solutions was $82 million, 11% of total, down 9% with a 10% margin. The math is simple and powerful. The biggest segment is also the highest margin and fastest growing. As e-infra becomes 75%, 80% of the mix, consolidated margins should continue expanding even without segment-level improvement. Part 6. The Visibility Pool. This is what separates Sterling from most ENC companies. Signed backlog is $3.01 billion, up 78% year-over-year. Combined backlog, which includes unsigned but expected awards, is $3.31 billion, up 81%. Add in $301 million of unsigned awards and over $1 billion in future phase work, and you get a $4.5 billion total visibility pool. Book-to-burn ratio was 1.64x in Q4. That means they're booking 64% more new work than they're completing. That backlog is growing, not just big. 84% of the backlog is now mission critical, up from 80% a year ago. Mission critical means data centers, semiconductor fabs, and other facilities where downtime has massive economic consequences. These projects typically have better pricing power and more predictable margins. E-infrastructure RPOs alone were $1.844 billion. That's nearly 2 years of IAN for revenue at current run rates. Part 7. Sell-side consensus. Three brokers cover Sterling actively. Here's what they see and where the consensus might be wrong. William Blair, analyst Louis De Palma. Rating, outperform. No explicit price target, but sees greater than 15% upside over 12 months. Their January 2025 initiation, 25 pages, said even after a tenfold increase since 2020, just getting started. They project data center revenue reaching $977 million by 2030 from $352 million in 2024. Blair raised 2026 estimates materially after the Q4 print, $3.153 billion revenue, $643.6 million EBITDA, $13.79 EPS. They value shares at 18x 2027 EBITDA versus peers at 20x. Blair's February note after hyperscaler earnings was important. Google and Meta increased 2026 CapEx guidance by 97% and 25% respectively versus mid-October expectations. Total Big Four hyperscaler CapEx growth in 2026 is expected to mirror the 61% growth in 2025. Blair notes SDRL trades at 19x 2026 estimated EBITDA, below the 20x average of its nine-company data center industrial infrastructure peer group. That's a slight discount despite above peer growth. Stifel initiated in February 2026. Buy, $486 price target. Key points, data centers, manufacturing, and distribution now account for over 50% of revenue. Data centers alone exceed 30%. There's the number we don't have from management, but Stifel estimates. Organic backlog grew 34% year over year in Q3, with e-infrastructure organic backlog up 45%. Total visibility exceeding $4 billion provides runway beyond 2026. They note SDRL's vertical integration and technology leadership with BM and drones creates barriers to entry. They also flag that the stock trades at a 1.5-turn EBITDA discount to specialty peers, offering multiple expansion potential. D.A. Davidson. Buy, $460 price target. They've covered the CEC acquisition closely. Raised their target from $355 after the CEC close. Their Houston management update in December 2025 was positive. They see CEC as the margin expansion catalyst through specialty electrical services cross-sell. Where consensus might be wrong, all three are bullish. There's no published bear case from a sell-side analyst. The street models 22 to 28% revenue growth for 2026. If DC demand accelerates further, those estimates move higher. But the flip side is true too. If hyperscaler CapEx pauses, there's no one modeling the downside scenario in the published research. Part 8. Valuation context. Sterling trades at roughly 27x forward EPS and 22x forward EBITDA. Let me put that in context with the ENC peer group. Comfort Systems ticker FIX at 25x PE and 19x EBITDA with 33% revenue growth. EMCOR, ticker EMI, at 20x PE and 15x EBITDA with 16% growth. Quanta Services, ticker PWR, at 33x PE and 21x EBITDA with 14% growth. MassTech, ticker MTZ, at 26x PE and 13x EBITDA with just 2% growth. The ENC median is 28x PE and 15x EBITDA with 9% revenue growth. Sterling's premium versus the group is justified if you believe 67% organic IAN for growth and 53% EPS growth are structural, not cyclical. The stock has sold off from $477 highs to the $300 to $330 range, roughly a 30 to 35% pullback. Market cap is approximately $10 to $14 billion. The bull case math, if Sterling can sustain 20% plus EPS growth for 3 to 5 years and maintain a 25x multiple, you compound at 20% plus annually. Blair's framework suggests this is plausible given the DC build-out timeline. The bear case math, if growth normalizes to 15 to 20% as the DC cycle matures, the multiple compresses to 15 to 20x forward earnings. That implies 35 to 50% downside from current levels. The key variable is duration of the DC build-out. Your job in this meeting is to pressure test that duration. Part 9. The CEC Acquisition Deep Dive. CEC added electrical services to Sterling's existing site development business. Q4 CEC revenue was up 21%. The cross-sell story is the margin lever for the next 2 years. Here's why it matters. A data center developer historically would hire one contractor for site work and a different one for electrical. Sterling now offers both. That's important because of timelines. When you're building a $500 million data center campus and every week of delay costs millions in lost revenue, you want one contractor who can coordinate site and electrical seamlessly. That's the pricing power argument. Management says there's room for margin improvement as they combine the businesses. Infra's Q4 adjusted operating margin was 22.2%. If CEC work, which currently runs lower, converges to that level through cross-sell efficiencies, consolidated margins could push toward 25%. The integration risk is real, though. Two C-suite hires at once, a new CFO from Dicom and new COO from Quanta, suggests they're staffing up for a more complex organization. CEC was not a small bolt-on. Part 10. Contract structure and risk. From the granola notes, important details on how Sterling structures deals. If a $300 million contract comes to them in phases, say 3 to 5 months of ramp, that's actually preferred. They commit to a completion date. They structure contracts to remove liability for weather delays. That's smart risk management. Regarding the legacy data center providers, the notes mention that a lot of them have missed out in favor of large hyperscalers and neoclouds. AMT, which is American Tower, is not seeing inference workloads in their data centers. This suggests the new build, which is what Sterling does, is where the action is. Retrofitting existing data centers for AI workloads is less relevant than building new purpose-built facilities. Customers are already trying to book out power commitments today. That forward-looking demand signal is bullish for Sterling's backlog visibility extending well beyond the current $4.5 billion pool. Part 11. Management team. CEO Joe Cutillo, 9 years. Mechanical engineer. He led the entire transformation from highway contractor to data center infrastructure platform. He's the architect. CFO Sharon Villaverde, less than 1 year. Came from Dicom Industries, where she was VP and Chief Accounting Officer. Dicom is a specialty contractor focused on telecom and utility infrastructure. She brings M&A integration expertise. COO Dan Govin, also less than 1 year. From Quanta Services, where he was president of Quanta West. Quanta is the largest specialty contractor in the U.S. He brings electrical utility background and large project operational experience. EVP Ron Balschmeid, 9 years. Former CFO of Chicago Bridge and Iron. The financial backbone of the transformation. VP of IR Noel Diltz, 2 years. Former Stifel equity research analyst covering ENC. This is notable. She knows exactly what the buy side wants to hear, what metrics matter, what questions to expect. She's been the IR face for all recent meetings and calls. The two simultaneous C-suite hires need scrutiny. Is this bench deepening for a company that's suddenly 3x more complex? Or is Cutillo planning succession? At 9 years as CEO of a company that's gone from near zero to $14 billion market cap, the question is fair. Part 12. Your surgical questions. Ranked by information value. Number 1. DC concentration. What exact percentage of Infra revenue is data center? This is the single most important number you don't have. You can't model AI CapEx sensitivity without it. Infra was 69% of Q4 revenue, but the data center subset within that is unstated. Stifel estimates data centers alone exceed 30% of total revenue. You need to confirm and push for a tighter breakdown, data center versus semiconductor versus e-commerce versus other. Also ask top 3 and top 5 customer concentration within Infra. If one hyperscaler is 25% plus of Infra, that's a different risk profile than if the top 5 are 40%. Number 2. Backlog quality. Backlog cancellation provisions and duration. How firm is $3 billion? What happens contractually if a customer pushes 6 to 12 months? Is there a termination fee? Are there cost escalation provisions? The $4.5 billion visibility pool is either extraordinary or aggressive, depending on how contractually protected it is. 84% mission critical is helpful, but mission critical is Sterling's definition. Push for specifics. Number 3. CEC cross-sell. How far along is the cross-sell? What percentage of CEC customers are now buying site development, and vice versa? What's the incremental revenue per customer? What's the margin delta between bundled and standalone? This is the margin expansion lever for the next 2 years. If cross-sell is real and accelerating, margins go to 25%. If it's early innings with no metrics, that's a flag. Number 4. Semiconductor pipeline. When do semiconductor awards start flowing? Which specific projects? Is it Micron in New York? TSMC in Arizona? Intel in Ohio? The $100 billion Micron opportunity from the granola notes is enormous. Get specific names, expected award dates, and rough sizing. Also ask whether semi projects have similar margin profiles to DC or better or worse. Number 5. Structural versus cyclical. In 3 to 5 years when DC supply normalizes, does Sterling's advantage hold? What's the moat beyond? We're bigger and faster right now. At 27x forward EPS, the market price is structural. If the moat is partially temporary, meaning it exists because of supply constraints, the multiple compresses when supply catches up. Push hard on what's genuinely proprietary versus what's capacity-driven. Number 6. Management bench. The new CFO from Dycom and COO from Quanta hired simultaneously. Is this bench deepening or succession planning? How is the integration going? What's Govin's specific mandate? What did you need from a COO that you didn't have before? Number 7. Bear case pushback. Solar overordering in the 2010s. How do you know DC buildout isn't the same pattern? Companies overbuilt, demand didn't materialize at the pace expected, and stocks got crushed. What if hyperscaler AI capex slows 20 to 30%? What's the impact on your order book? How quickly would backlog decelerate? Number 8, if time allows. Capital allocation priorities. Buyback pace with $374 million remaining. Are you accelerating in the sell-off? Next M&A target. Texas was flagged, also Ohio and Indiana. Size of next deal? Can you still buy at 4 to 6x EBITDA or have E&C multiples expanded? Building Solutions is declining at minus 9%. Is that a divestiture candidate to simplify the story? Part 13. Listening Framework. Here's what to listen for during the meeting, organized as bullish and bearish signals for each topic. On backlog quality. Bullish, cancellation fees on all contracts, zero deferrals, customer prepayments, we turn away work. Bearish, vague on protections, customers are committed, without specifics, any mention of schedule adjustments or pushouts. On competitive mode. Bullish, customers can't unbundle because integrated is 20% faster. Specific examples of competitors losing bids. References to long-term framework agreements with hyperscalers. Bearish, competitive wins based mostly on capacity availability. We're in the right place at the right time language. Any mention of pricing pressure from new entrants. On CEC integration. Bullish, specific dollar figures on cross-sell already realized. Named customer examples. We've converted X% of CEC customers to bundled. Bearish, early innings or just scratching the surface, without concrete numbers. Integration challenges mentioned even casually. On semiconductor. Bullish, named projects and expected award dates. We're in final discussions. Specific geographic references beyond generic, Northeast and Southwest. Bearish, generic, well-positioned, without specifics. 2027 or later timing. Suggesting semi is still speculative. On management tone overall. Bullish, measured, data-driven, acknowledges risks, volunteers information you didn't ask for, specifically engages with bear case. Bearish, promotional, avoids the bear case, deflects concentration questions, name drops without substance, gets defensive when you push on valuation. Part 14. Context from your team. Derek flagged SDRL as a new idea in March. Data center infrastructure play recently sold off from highs. Infra growing 123% year over year. Similar setup to FPS, but pure play site development plus electrical. His suggestion was to size at a small weight in SMID alongside MTSI during the sell-off. Your own note says you plan to move SDRL and MTSI into SMID at small weights during the market sell-off. Similar to how small has LGN. The idea is to use the current weakness to build positions in high-quality growth names at better prices. This meeting is part of that due diligence. Part 15. Bottom line. Sterling is a genuine transformation story with best-in-class growth metrics in ENC, revenue growing 32%, EPS growing 53%, backlog growing 78%, organic e-infra growing 67%. The visibility pool at $4.5 billion is extraordinary if the contracts are firm. The question is duration. At 27x forward earnings, you're paying for structural, not cyclical. If the DC buildout lasts 5 to 7 years, as the bulls argue, Sterling compounds at 20% plus and the multiple holds. If it's a 2 to 3 year phenomenon, the multiple compresses and you give back the premium. Your job in this meeting is four things. First, get the DC concentration number. What exact percent of e-infra is data center? Second, test the backlog quality. Are there real cancellation provisions or is $3 billion a soft number? Third, assess the CEC cross-sell. Is it real and measurable or still aspirational? Fourth, pressure test the bear case. Ask about solar overordering parallels directly. Watch how management responds. The Granola Notes called Sterling a canary in the coal mine for DC infrastructure demand. If this canary keeps singing, you want to own it. That's your full Sterling briefing. Good luck in the meeting.